You're trying to impress me, Finch, because you got the wrong guy. Killing that girl made you feel special, which you're not. You're the same distorted, pathetic freak I've been dealing with for 30 years. You know how many of you I caught with your pants down?
I never touched you like that.
You wanted to. Now you wish you had. Best you could do it. Clipper nails. Now you're so different. You don't get it, do you, Finch? You're my job. You're what I'm paid to do. You're about as mysterious to me as a blocked toilet is to a fucking plumber. Reasons for doing what you did? Who gives a fuck?
Motivations are everything, Will. What did you see through the fog?
Welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Douglas.
And this is David.
And we're back again. I don't know why.
Sadly.
Anyways, yeah. We actually have plans to do a full show, but I don't know why I'm saying this. Why am I talking about all of this randomness and not just saying, Damien?
Yes.
Where were you last week?
So our power company, JPS, decided they should turn off the light and not bring it back for about 24 hours, I think it was. The light went at about 6 and we didn't get back light until sometime in the afternoon the following day. So that's always fun. I was waiting for the light to come back before getting ready. And it never did. So I couldn't send you an email, of course, because there is no power. So you can blame JPS. It wasn't my fault. I was wide awake. You guys don't do the podcast live anymore. And again, that wouldn't have helped.
No power.
So yeah, you guys did the episode about we need a special, a bonus episode. And Andrew has it in the feed. I don't know why it's bonus.
Because it's not a proper episode.
And okay. Sounded like structure. A proper episode to me.
Whatever.
All people come for is the reviews. Nobody cares about this banter that we have at the start.
Is it wrong that when you started the story, in my head, the song by Nelly Furtado started going on? Turn out the light.
Wow. It is sad, eh? It's not wrong. It's very sad, though, that your brain works like that. But anyway, you guys were talking last week, and Douglas was the first to say, this is not a movie, it is a film. Now, guys, when we started this podcast, we did it to not become pretentious assholes. Do you guys remember that? About 3 years ago when we started this. I don't know what's coming next. This is life in motion. This is not just moving pictures. Guys, it's a movie. I enjoy the movie as much as any of you guys, but we need to cut back on the hyperbole.
All right, we're going to just go for a week where we just praise Michael Bay movies and it'll even out.
No. Look, I'm not saying that we should stop watching good movies. I'm just saying, if we're going to start making distinctions between movies and films, this is a dark, dark road that we should not walk. It doesn't end well.
Alright, on that note, Damien, since you weren't here, let's kick it off with what you've been watching, and tell us a little bit about that film. How did you feel about that one? We need to talk about Kevin since you weren't here.
So I really, really enjoyed that movie. You guys had said that, you know, you don't think you'll be watching it more than once. I don't have that problem because I'm a real man, I guess. Little girls that cry about everything. I'm just going to launch into spoilers. You already told them all they needed to know about the movie last week. I enjoyed it thoroughly. My favorite scene in that movie is when she gets home after the school massacre, and she goes outside to see her husband and daughter murdered. I like that transition. It's her walking through the curtains, then they cut to the bodies, and then they cut back to her walking inside and she's covered in blood. And her expression is just, it is fantastic. Because she was already depressed coming home. And to see her sink another level was truly impressive. Tilda Swinton deserves the Oscar and whatever it is that they need to give her for this movie, for doing the most acting and also the best acting. She was perfect in this movie. Of course, Kevin was fantastic. We've liked him since City Island and all those other movies that we saw him in. But I found the perfect movie to go with this movie. And it is Beautiful Boy, a movie that came out the year previous.
I know that name. What movie is that?
That's the one with Mario Bello and Michael Sheen.
Oh, and the son died and the school. Some crazy thing.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is what, that movie is what would happen if the son left everyone alive and murdered the school and himself. And it's a nice compliment to, we need to talk about Kevin. It's not as serious, I don't want to say serious, it's not as drab and bleak, because at the end of Beautiful Boy you see that these people have to move on with their lives. If this thing was traumatic and it changed their relationship forever, but they are still in the picture. In We Need to Talk About Kevin, that is just grim for the entire time. And you guys were wondering why people were essentially attacking Tilda Swinton's character throughout the movie. And that is because she sided with her son. She went to the hearings. And she had no family left and she was traumatized. The only thing that she could think to do was cling to her son. Yes, the son hated her and no good can ever come of this, but it was the only thing she had. That was it. She didn't have any other family. And of course, people are going, if you have a child, because the lady that punched her in the face had a child going to the school, and you saw the mother of the child that killed your child and she was defending her son, that doesn't give you a whole lot of leeway of things to do to her. You can't very well go over there and shake her hand. You just have to punch her in the face, which is how we should resolve most problems, I think. So those are the two films that I saw. The rest,
not movies, films.
Are movies. No, the rest are movies. I've watched bad things this week. I saw the Three Musketeers movie.
Oh boy.
Which is what's his name? Wes Anderson? Was it Wes Anderson?
No. Paul W. S. Anderson.
Paul
Let's
W.
get this
S.
straight.
Right.
Let's get this straight. Not the man
right.
who made Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Right, no, right. Paul W. S. joint. And it is what you'd expect from him. It is mediocre from start to finish. So the next movie that I saw was, should I say, equally as bad as, no, it's a little
better. Do
you want
to hurt that movie's feelings that much?
No, it's a little better. The Immortals. Now, we and Tarzan have a special relationship here
that
on
means,
the podcast.
Are you really telling me? Finally! The Walking Dead is back? Sorry, I apologize. Because I've been waiting for this. I was pretty sure it couldn't have ended where it did. Alright, cool.
It came back from last week.
I don't know these things.
Douglas has some form of ADD. Damien, you are speaking. Screw you, Douglas. I don't want to hear your chipmunk, your squirrel-like thoughts right now.
Right, keep them to yourself.
Thank you. Thank you for making me feel so good.
So we love the fall on this podcast. Except probably Douglas.
No, I love the fall. You know this. You know, originally it was me and you who loved the fall, and Andrew kept saying, I don't want to watch that movie. That movie is probably stupid.
Making lunatic comments. He did the Immortals. Now, the good about Immortals, Mickey Rourke is great.
But as always, yeah.
Superman is good. He's very charming.
Brandon Routh is in that movie?
No. The new Superman. The guy that played
Henry Cavill.
Whatever his name is.
Yeah.
I don't know his name, though. I'll know it when I see Chris Nolan and Superman. And Snyder. I can't wait for Superman. I can't believe I'm saying this. Never. So, those two actors are great in the movie. The action scenes are very well done. Some of the fighting sequences were just top-notch. So it's clear that Tarzan can direct action as well. The story is dreadful. The story is dreadful. I think that's my major sticking point. It is bad. Very bad. The movie is okay. It is watchable. You won't be sitting down there and hating yourself for putting in the hour and a half. But at the end of the hour and a half, you will feel pretty much nothing. Some of the scenes were beautiful to look at. It's clear that the 300 producers told Tarzan that they wanted another 300, and they hired some people to do some writing, and the writing wasn't up to snuff.
You see, Damon, I agree with you 100%, but I kind of feel that all of those things which you mentioned, which you like, and I love them as well, they overshadow the horrible story enough for me to enjoy the movie when I saw
the movie.
I haven't gone back to it.
There's just nothing, there's no substance there. You watch it and you go, I see. And then there's nothing.
And then you see an action scene where the gods fly down and you're like, ah,
right.
Yes.
There's barely anything I remember about that movie except the gods fighting other things. That was fun while it lasted. It wasn't nearly long enough. And then... spoilers for people who don't understand how movies work. but... right. No. It's watchable. It's like a Transformers movie. It's better than that in terms of pretty much everything except CG. But you'll be left with the same feeling when you're done. You're like, I should not have spent my time watching this. Because there's far better movies. I also started watching some new TV shows. I started watching The X's, which is a CBS, what's the name of that station?
ABC.
No, it's not one of the major ones. No, it's TV Land.
The Nickelodeon spin-off?
Right, I think it's like a TV Land show with Turk from Scrubs and some other people. And it's good, it's not great, it's fun to watch, and it's definitely one of the better ones that I've seen for this year. It's better than Whitney and Two Broke Girls and all the others.
It's not very hard to be better than
that's the thing. It's been very good. Are You There, Chelsea is another one that NBC started, and that TV show is gross, I think is the best way to say it. It isn't good at all. But I keep watching it. I think I have the same issue that you have with New Girls, with the Are You There, Chelsea thing. The main actress, I forget her name.
Yeah, she's from 70s show.
Yeah,
yeah,
from that 70s show. I don't know. I like watching her. I don't know what it is. The show isn't good at all. It's just broad stereotypes played for laughs for the entire show. And then the episode is over and you feel like you've been shortchanged a TV episode, but you just watch the other one and continue hating yourself. House of Lies is the new show that Showtime started mid-season. I enjoy that. I don't know if it's really good. I just know that I enjoy it a lot. It's really fun. I guess Showtime has this way to manipulate me with their shows. I can't tell objectively whether they're good or bad. I just know that I watch them and I continue to watch them. So I should probably give people some idea about what these shows are about. I realize I haven't been doing that. Are You There? Chelsea is bad, so you don't need to. Neither here nor there. House of Lies, Don Cheadle plays a consultant. I should say. Douglas Robinson's friend, Don Cheadle.
My favorite actor.
Plays consultants with, what's her name?
Kristen Bell.
Bell. And a few others. And they go around manipulating
assholes
into keeping them on as consultants. They're doing Douglas's job. That's what they're doing now, right?
Not at all.
Not yet. And it's fun, I guess. I don't know. I like watching it. I think that's as much as I can say. But I know that it's not great. But I like watching it. I don't understand. There's a new show, Inside Comedy, where they sit down comedians and speak to them. So if you enjoy comedy and you enjoy people...
I thought that was the Nerdist podcast.
No, that's actually the WTF podcast with Mark Maron. That's a plug for him, I guess. That's essentially what, if anyone knows what that podcast is, it is that podcast in TV form. And it's about the same if you... if you really enjoy comedy, like stand-up comedy, not just broad comedy, then you'll enjoy this. You get some insight and you get some jokes, and it's really very enjoyable. Top Gear's back. Top Gear. If people don't watch, even if you don't like Cars, you should watch Top Gear. Andrew will attest to that.
I don't like Cars, and I watch Top Gear.
It's just fun. Those guys are idiots. And Chinese Tig is amazing for that one episode where he was in. And I saw some other even worse TV shows than this. The TV show this year has been bad.
Damien, first of all, I don't know. I think what happened is last year, all of these people, they all saw Game of Thrones and they gave up. And right now, all of them, instead of working on writing good TV, they're all just waiting like us to see more Game of Thrones. So when April comes along, I think that's when Game of Thrones season 2 starts. They'll all have something to watch and look forward to, like us.
I actually went back and watched Tyrion's again, and that's I like Tyrion's more. I like Tyrion's more than Game of Thrones. If I could pick one of the two, I'd take Tyrion's over Game of Thrones. Now, that is never going to happen.
I say, no, sir, and you are wrong, and we can move on now.
There Be Dragons is amazing, but Tyrion's gave us something that we've never had. Look, Game of Thrones is Lord of the Rings. Let's not fool ourselves. And I've seen 80 hours of Lord of the Rings now. I think that's how long the Blu-rays are. Like 100 and some. I don't know. It's like, but I'd love more Tyrion's. It was amazing, but that's not going to happen.
Okay, but before you continue, what's the name of that show?
What show?
The one without Luther.
Inside Men.
Men. All right.
Right. Sorry, I was going to skip that. Inside Men is a new BBC show with all the guys from Luther minus Idris Elba, and it is amazing. It is what you think it is. It is people who are running an inside job on robbing somewhere, and that is all I'm going to say. You will be amazed. The writing is fantastic. The acting, if you've ever seen any of these guys in Luther, you'll know that there will be no doubt. The acting is terrific. I don't want to see how many episodes they're going to put out. Our funny feeling is 5, and that is not cool. That's not cool at all. But yeah, that is the show that people should. You know what? Let's just abandon American TV minus Justified, and just watch British series for the rest of this year, because it's not look until Community comes back. So that's pretty much it. Terrible movies, not films. Terrible movies. And terrible TV shows, not series. Is that the distinction?
Well, yeah, because British shows are called series, right?
Idiot. So just watch, look guys, just continue watching Justified and Inside Men and skip everything else.
Okay.
So Douglas?
Alright, so I guess that means it's my turn. I've been watching quite a bit thanks to my Netflix subscription since December. But I just wanted to go through a couple of things quickly. I have watched, the new season of Sherlock, which is pretty amazing, I think there was one show that was a little below the average.
All 3 episodes of series.
I know, right? It's disgusting. But really good.
Question, Douglas, before you move on. Sherlock, in series 2, which I still haven't watched, is Moriarty just as annoying as he was in that last episode of the first series?
I will leave that for you to find out.
If you find him annoying,
that's
it. Yeah, exactly. I don't find him annoying. But if you did, then that's it.
Right. I also caught up with a show called The IT Crowd, which is fucking hilarious.
I don't want to believe it, okay.
It's another British TV show about an IT department, and it's fantastic. Everybody should watch it. I have to bow down and say and apologize to Andrew, as I have been watching Archer recently, and that show is amazing, even though I gave him shit about it.
Season 2 is a little bit weaker than the first season, but on a whole, the level of arms house that they keep up in that show is quite spectacular.
Well, you're better than me. I still
have Danger Zone!
But anyway, I watched a little bit of a bit of Fran Laurie, and that show is fantastic. I'm so upset that Netflix has lost it, and I need to find another way to watch the rest of it. I watched 40-something, which is one of those 6-episode shows with Hugh Laurie. And the show is essentially about a man in his mid-40s who has kids, is happily married, but hasn't had sex in the longest while, and is actively in search of sex with his wife, and it never happens.
Every marriage.
Exactly, every marriage. And that's what that show is about. And it's kind of, it suffers from, I think, a problem of that it doesn't quite know what it wants to be. One episode, it's a really good comedy. One episode, it tries to be a bit of a drama. So it's not, I wouldn't call it amazing or great, but it still was enjoyable. What else have I watched? I started watching Devil May Cry, which is a pretty fun to watch, at least. Japanime about killing demons. As there's House of Lies demons I was talking about earlier, which
I'm so ashamed of you.
Really? It's kind of fun.
And
I don't know. I watched the first couple of episodes. Maybe I'll keep watching and clearly get to the state where you guys are that it's rubbish. But anyway, House of Lies. I want to get through this quickly. House of Lies. I'm not as enamored with it as Damien. I'm still giving it a chance. I've only watched the first either 2 or 3 episodes, though, so I'm a little bit behind. But it has potential, even despite
your love for Dan Cheadle. Hearing this from Douglas is as much confirmation as I need that I can continue watching this show. Douglas loves Dan Cheadle so much and can still watch his movie, his TV show. It's a good sign.
I also watched The Rum Diary, which is Johnny Depp's second stab at Hunter S. Thompson. And yes, I agree, Andrew, that movie was terrible. I did not like it at all.
I have not seen a single good review for that movie.
Look, hold on, what, just before we continue, I saw The Rum Diary, and I agree with you, Douglas, it's horrible. But I have to mention, at the same time, I'm currently reading the book, I'm around like 3/4 way through the Rum Diary book, and watching the movie, it felt a lot like they took bits from, they would take like chapter 1 of the book, skip chapters 2, 3, and 4, and then give us chapter 5. And that was my biggest issue with the movie.
Well, I haven't read the book, and so I can't speak to that.
But question, while you were watching the movie, did you feel like the story made sense scene to scene at all?
I felt like there was a lot of meat that it left out. There was a lot of meat that would have made the movie possibly worth it.
I hear that this movie, everybody has just been complaining how dreadful this movie is.
It's kind of just it kind of goes through the motions. It's kind of like, okay, here is Johnny Depp doing the Hunter S. Thompson voice, so you expect him to be doing drugs, alcohol, and whatnot. And, well, he's not doing drugs, but he's doing alcohol. He goes around marauding, and it's kind of like shit happens. I mean, I don't really want to... I guess I'll spoil it because it's a bad movie. But really and truly, the core of at least the story in the movie is that he gets into bed with a sort of crooked guy that apparently used to be a writer but now works with all sorts of people and is trying to get some sort of project going that isn't supposed to happen and needs Johnny Depp to help him out. And somehow that partnership between him and the guy falls through because they go on a trip together.
Wow, this sounds so much fun.
Yeah, you know, I think like a lot of the movie was superficial. They didn't delve into anything, and that was the movie's main problem. I don't know if that's your opinion as well, and I don't know if that's the difference between the movie and the book also, but it really just, it didn't...
They made no sense from scene 1 to scene 2 of the movie. They skip, and I'm not even going to do the silly, it was in the book, so it has to be in the movie. I'm talking about the fact that if I hadn't read the book even, it made no sense when we got to scene 2 as to what the hell happened in between. There was a lack of cohesion in the story completely.
Look, Johnny Depp happened, okay? Guys? No.
What should have happened was
see what had happened.
Alright, whatever. Move on. It's a bad movie. Let's not talk about this. It's a bad movie.
This movie's bad is because Gilliam didn't take it on. He would have fixed it. But anyway, I did watch a really good movie. A really good movie. I watched Black Lightning. I think this was the first movie that I watched on Netflix. I saw it there and I said, you know what? I've been meaning to watch it for a long time. Damien even recommended it after I decided to watch it. So it I have to watch it. I finally got the chance.
Is that German?
It's not German. Or at least I don't think it's German. I think it's Russian.
Yeah, Russian.
But it's Spider-Man in a black car.
It is amazing. Holy shit, that movie is fun.
It's so good.
Oh, God. I can't wait till they remake it and make it bad.
I know. But no, this movie is just a fun movie to watch. It follows the same Marvel comics, I'm a young boy who gets a superpower who now has to decide to do good with it kind of movie. And it's just... it breaks my heart how good this movie is, and
no, it actually made me feel great knowing that the other countries are catching up in terms of blockbusters. I mean, they've always made good dramas and indie films, but we love action. Well, I love action a lot, and
no matter how snobbish you are, mm-hmm. I don't think anybody can say that they don't love a good action.
Right. And Japan has taken it way too far. They have been throwing CG at their blockbusters for like the past 8 years now. And now none of their blockbuster movies look anything like what a movie is supposed to look like. It looks like a cartoon from start to end. And so I saw that and I just love it. It's such a fun movie. If the new Spider-Man captures half of the charm that this movie has, it would be a good movie.
Speaking of which, that new Spider-Man trailer was kind of lame. I'm just saying.
The first one was lame. All of them have been lame.
I haven't watched any of them, but Andrew wanted us to do a proper episode last week and we didn't, mm-hmm. but I had to watch that trailer for it. It was bad.
They've not been good.
Yeah.
Douglas, take that back. Reese fans is in that movie.
No, I didn't say I was going to watch it. That's a different story altogether.
Sony is in desperate need of my money. Alright, I'll give it to them.
So that's it, Douglas.
That's it for everyone.
And you're seeing Black Lightning is on Netflix right now, right?
Yes, it is. Well, at least it was in December. I can't vouch for now, but I'd assume it's still there. I know a lot of things have come off, like You and Larry is no longer there, which pisses me off.
Or you can buy it off Amazon for, I think it was $15.
Yeah, no, seriously, you need to... Not expensive. You need to deal with that. That's a good movie.
I'm just going to continue for a second. So, I've been downloading apps for my phone now for a while. And... my sister got a new phone, and there's this application that I like a lot, and I said, you know, she needs to get it. And she went to the store, and she saw that it cost $5. Now, $5 is not money. It is less than 500 Jamaican dollars, which might as well be free. If you have $500, you are super uber broke. And she didn't want to spend the $5. It's like she don't see why she must spend $5. And I've been seeing people complain about things like that more and more. What is this thing where people don't want to spend money on applications? Windows costs what, $300? And it's $5. I've seen people give app bad reviews because it costs money on the Amazon App Store. Unbelievable.
Damien, you're talking about the people who continue to pirate content which is on Netflix, which is $8 a month.
Look. I don't have a problem with people pirating movies for many reasons. Key of which is that I live in Jamaica and the movie industry couldn't give less of a fuck about Jamaica. I don't care. I'm not condoning it. People really shouldn't do it, but if you don't have a choice, then just do what you need to do. Or if you can justify that with yourself, whatever. But not paying people for an application that you use all the time doesn't make any sense to me. Especially when it's not a lot of money. It's $5. If I walk long enough, I'll find $500 on the street. My sister is an exec at one of the biggest fashion companies in the country and she refused to spend $500. Less than $500.
They'd prefer to root the phone and load up the... load up the...
Yeah, but she doesn't do
that. What?
She doesn't know how to do that. It's not like...
You know what, though? I bet you she'd pay for that.
Yeah, I'm sure to...
She'd pay
somebody so that she wouldn't have to buy any more.
She'd consider it an investment. A long-term investment.
Oh, God. All right, Andrew. Sorry about that.
No, that's fine. I'm used to being ignored and called over and whatever. But that's fine. I'll stop talking about it now and move on with what I've been watching. I, unlike you guys, actually forced myself to watch a lot of good films, not movies, films.
Wait, you forced yourself? Or do
I... Usually, I watch crap all the while. But I'm saying, because I don't listen to you guys when you guys say what I should watch. Oh, Douglas recommended something like 5 minutes ago. I've forgotten what it was. I saw the latest David Cronenberg film, A Dangerous Method, starring Viggo Mortensen, Michael Fassbender, and Keira Knightley. Now, this is a movie where you're going to have to... It's going to be very...
You have to want want it. You don't have to want it.
You're either going to entirely love the film or you're going to entirely laugh at it for the entire runtime. Because, especially the first 30 minutes, Keira Knightley is so far out there as an actress. She's doing so many tics, so many crazy things that deep down inside, part of you is going to look at this and I'd want to laugh at her. But she's so good at it, to be honest. It's so good. And later on, when Viggo Mortensen comes in the movie playing Dr. Freud, I kind of made a little joke during the watching it, saying how everything he says turns out into a sexual innuendo or talking about your penis and sex with your mother. And it is, and that was Freud. I'm not saying that that wasn't Freud, right? But at the same time, you can still laugh at it. It's still a joke that people make today in things are being Freudian and stuff. And it can be funny, but at the very same time, it's really good. It's a really good movie, and I personally enjoyed it a lot. I think you guys should check it out when you have a chance. Especially Damien, because I'd like to know whether he falls on the side of appreciating the acting or laughing at it.
You said Fassbender is in this movie, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
No. I have it, though.
So do I, but I haven't watched it yet.
I need to watch Take Shelter. God damn it.
I have that one.
That I saw recently. Take Shelter.
What?
And the movie, I didn't really love whole
you're going to... just skip that one then. I don't want to hear anything.
Alright, you know what? I'm going to leave it alone because actually I really want to talk about the ending of that movie with you guys and neither of you have seen it. So, it's a good movie. I just
next
took
week,
issues with things.
We can talk about it.
Okay. Another movie I want to talk about is A Cat in Paris, which is the French animated film which is up for Best Animated Feature this year. And I always find it interesting to see animated films outside of America because I don't want to shoehorn it, but America's animation style has become very standard. And we can expect certain things when we're watching it. Yes, on occasion, they do twist the standard a bit and it is interesting. But whenever you go into European animation, they find really interesting ways of representing people and representing actions. And this is a movie basically about a little girl and a thief, and they're connected by the fact that they both kind of sort of parts own, take care of this cat. Like, during the day, the cat will come to the girl's house, and the girl will be like, oh, nice kitty, and at night, the cat will go to the thief's house, and the thief and the cat will go off on their adventures stealing stuff. And it's a really beautiful animated film, and it's beautiful in the sense that the animator finds a really interesting way to represent people's flaws in how he draws the characters. I feel like I'm trying too hard. It's a sweet movie. It's really short. It's like 70 minutes, I think. It's a sweet little adventure action movie, and it's French animated. It's cool. But the two really most interesting movies that I saw this week, which I want to talk about, is number one, A Better Life, which is the lead role. I can't remember the guy's name. Is up for Best Actor this year, and it's about a guy, an illegal immigrant in California, with his son, and he's trying to make a living in this harsh world as a gardener, and his son is pretty much a little shit who's trying, who you see is right about to become like within the gangs in South California. And the real story of this film has to do with the father trying to connect with his son, but at the very same time trying to make a living, trying to make that jump from just making ends meet to trying to move further, because he he starts out by investing in his own truck for his gardening company and therefore trying to become his own boss and such. But this leads to a lot of trouble at the same time, and I really don't want to go any further in going through the plot because I want you guys to see it and enjoy it for yourselves because it's a really interesting movie. It blends a lot of different plots together.
It's amazing. I'm actually glad that you're recommending this movie.
Sorry, what movie is he talking about?
He's talking about A Better Life.
A Better Life. It's a really good movie. And I, the end of it is really well done in the emotional payoff. My only issue is something that we've come to complain about a lot recently, which is the last 5 seconds of the movie. I'm not sure if I want that in the movie. But otherwise, perfect.
Sorry, I can't have the director cut it for me. I've been doing that for a lot of other movies. I love the director.
Have you seen A Better Life, Damien?
No, I actually was going to skip this movie because what I've been doing is going through... I've been using MovieWeb to go back through the last year and find movies that I haven't seen and I think I need to see. And I saw A Better Life and watched the trailer and just went, oh, this is another immigrant story. I moved right past it. I didn't even consider getting this movie. But now that you've given it such a high recommendation, I think I'll have to go and give this movie a watch. So yeah, thanks for that. Hopefully it's as good as you say. If it isn't, believe me, you will hear from me.
I will hear from you. The last movie I want to talk about is the movie everyone's touting to win the Best Picture Award next week at the Oscars, and that's The Artist. Have you guys seen The Artist yet?
No,
no.
Because there's no way for us to watch it here in Jamaica.
The film is really great, and I guess it does play a lot on the nostalgia factor. But at the same time, there are two particular scenes in this movie which I feel lets it rise up above just being, oh, we made a silent movie, and it's a movie about movies, and people all like that kind of stuff, so here, have fun. And I don't even want to try and preface it because I want you guys to get into it yourselves. Because when it comes up the first time, your jaw will literally drop. Your brain will start stirring around and you start to try and answer the question, where is this movie going with this? And I don't want to preface it at all, except to say the movie is awesome, especially for those two moments. It did let me appreciate a lot about silent cinema. I haven't seen a lot of movies from that era. I've seen some. I did enjoy the fact that not only was it, oh, we were just making it silent, but everything about the way the movie was presented, the way that cameras would be positioned, shots would be put together, the fact that they know that even though there might be 5 lines of dialogue in a scene, we really only need text for one, if any at all, because we can tell what's going on just by the visual features of the actresses and actors. And that I enjoyed a lot. The score is brilliant. I really love it, and yeah, you guys should find a way to go and watch this movie, and I want us to come back and talk about it when you guys have seen it so we can talk about those two scenes in particular.
I'm sure Caribou will be releasing it. Never. This is one movie, even if it wins everything at the Oscars, I still doubt Caribou would put out this movie.
Yeah, I doubt it very much. Yeah, and that's what I've been watching. I mean, other than gorging on Wings on Netflix.
Wings? Oh, I
the TV show Wings. All of it's on Netflix.
I have
that
show in so long.
Sad little person.
Okay, sure.
I'm still annoyed that you haven't gotten the trailer horn as a sound effect for introducing it. I don't understand. That... the Jamaican ear horn thing. It's not that it's an easy sound effect. What's wrong with you?
So the first trailer I want to talk about is for this movie called Sound of Noise. And I'm just going to go directly to Douglas because he is who I'm pandering to right now. Douglas, what do you think of this trailer?
You're an asshole. You knew I would like this, no matter what this movie was about. And to tell you the truth, I have absolutely no clue what this movie is about. All I know is that they made a lot of cool
music video I've seen in a long time.
That's all it really was. It was a music video. I'm definitely down for whatever right now. But that's not to say that this movie is going to be good at all. But this was a great trailer, at least for people like me.
So Douglas is DTF. I'm also DTF. I have no idea what I just saw. It starts out and you go, what on earth is happening with this movie? And then the music video kicks off and you go, what in God's name is happening in this movie?
And you're like, there's subtitles.
And then it ends, and Douglas is beaming, there's light coming off his face. He starts frantically punching his phone, trying to get some way to watch the movie immediately.
I have a question. Do they actually rob the banks, or are they just playing music in them?
What bank are you talking about? Where did you see a bank? Who is robbing anything? What is going on in this show? Go on.
This trailer looks freaking awesome, and I'm with you guys. This movie looks... we're not quite sure what it's about, but it pulls off cool so well in the trailer that we're like, yep, I'll watch that.
And I don't want to know what the movie is about either. Until I watch it, everybody can keep their synopsis to themselves. Just going to put it on a list. And be sure to watch it.
The next trailer I want to talk about is they released a teaser for the new film Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, which is directed by the guy who gave us Wanted.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. And I looked, and behold, was death. Saying, come and see.
Damien, does it appease your action needs watching Abraham Lincoln kill vampires with an axe that he can chop a tree in half with one swing?
I'm not. It looks bad. It's just shitty CG for about a minute and 30 seconds. And what I find most hilarious is during the trailer, he has murdered about 100 people. And then at the end of the trailer, he chops a tree in half in slow motion. We understand that this guy is strong. You just showed me a minute of him murdering people and jumping on trains and... Look, we're not American, so at least I don't have the fascination with Lincoln. I don't understand why this is awesome, guys. He was a president that no one knows, because he's been dead for about 200 years. And he's killing vampires. And cutting trees in half. Douglas was trying to explain why that was in there. Apparently he chopped down a tree at some point while he was alive. Look, it's bad. All right, the trailer is bad. The music inset trailer is bad. The CG doesn't look great at all. I'm not interested. Hopefully the reviews on this will be awesome, because if they're not, I'll not be sitting down to watch it.
The question is to Douglas.
Silent until back.
Douglas, Abraham Lincoln in this movie versus Hugh Jackman's Van Helsing. Go.
I don't understand the question. You're asking me to compare two things that I don't like.
Which one?
Which one? <would? laughs>
Well, I blacked out most of Van Helsing.
Because we've actually seen that one. And, so at least this one you have some hope for. So this one wins by default.
And this one, yeah, I guess, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I haven't seen this, so I can just hope it's not as bad as Van Helsing.
Yeah, I go with Damien. Andrew, this trailer was bad.
So bad.
There was no reason for me to watch this, and I'm actually disappointed is not the word. Disgusted, that's right. I'm disgusted with you for showing this trailer.
I'm very angry. The Born, what's it? Continuum trailer is out.
Like, that trailer was awesome.
Couldn't we have watched that?
Oh my god.
So is it Continuum? I've lost track as to what they call these things anymore. Born 4 has a teaser trailer that came out.
I love that trailer.
Which is
like, I think the best part of that trailer was, so you know they show the snippets of him becoming
born, right?
Yeah, but the best part of that trailer I think was, because I was like, really guys, I knew that was gonna happen, but okay, whatever. And then they say something along the lines of, you didn't think it was just one, or something. And I think that was the point where it's like, you know what?
Holy shit!
That is a great catch line. That really turned it around. I was like, you know what? Yeah, they're telling me another story, and I'm happy for that. I really want to watch this movie now.
I didn't want
to watch it before. No, I really want to. Watch
I just
it.
Want the guy that was in 3 that all he did was lie on his bed and wait to be called. I just want more of that. There's no talking. People just getting down to business. That's what I want.
Am I the only one who hated that trailer?
Yes.
And I have literally no interest in watching that movie. I mean, come on, why do we need
to watch Abraham Lincoln?
No. No, Abraham Lincoln looks slightly horrendous, but at the same time, I have small slivers of hope, maybe because I think Abraham Lincoln might be this year's Fright Night. And I don't know what you guys think about Fright Night, but I thought that movie was a bag of fun, right? I enjoyed the hell out of Fright Night.
Yeah, still have not watched.
You need to get a DVD. Or Blu-ray. I need to frame my vocabulary. I don't say that
It's a terrible word, though.
Yeah.
Blu-ray is not
a... I'm going to just buy Damien DVDs from now on.
DVD?
Yeah, wow. That
Holy
was...
shit.
Is that where they lost the war?
Probably. I refuse to buy a HD DVD, whatever it was.
Right, so Born 4, right? Does it really have to be Born? And honestly, I don't think I want to see Jeremy Renner be Born 4. He's already going to be MI5. He's Green Arrow in Marvel. I don't like him as supposed to be the charismatic lead. I love him in a Hurt Locker where he's been.
You know he's going to be bad. Oh wait, no.
But
maybe
he's not charismatic.
That is you know that his movie with Marvel is going to be bad. So why are you even talking about that?
Just
kind of don't even watch that movie and just watch good ones. Watch the MI5.
Right.
Watch the Bourne Identity.
Born.
You know,
he's not he's not going to be in there. He's not James Bond, so he's not. He won't be charming anybody.
Yeah.
None of the Bourne movies. He was playing a charming person. He just went around murdering people. And Jeremy Renner has proven to do that very well.
Question I have for Born 4. Is this going to be Jeremy Renner being an agent under the control of the CIA? Or is this going to be Jeremy Renner being who Born was, which was an agent who got messed up and is now going against the CIA again?
Don't know, but I hope that it's not quite what Born was. You know, you hope it's something different.
We hope that the people who are directing this movie aren't stupid. They look at it and go, we've made 3 successful Bourne movies. Let's take the key components of Bourne and remix it. I want more Bourne movies. Look, for someone who is looking forward to the next James Bond movie, you're coming off really silly right now. There's 23 Bond movies. And they haven't changed any of them except 2. So I don't understand where you come off going. I don't want more Bourne. Bond? I'll take as much Bond as you can give me. But
yes!
Bourne? No.
Yes, maybe if they call Jeremy Renner James Bourne. He is Bourne. He is Matt Damon's character continued. Maybe. Maybe I'd go on board.
Are you serious? Andrew,
no,
I hope that.
I don't know what I'm saying anymore. Alright, so the last trailer I wanted to talk about was the trailer for the new Pusher remake, starring Richard Coyle in the lead role.
It's risky, Frank.
How much?
Half a key.
That's a lot of gear, mate.
Frank, you're my friend, and you're my man. Well, this way you'll get the 3 grand quicker. Okay. Gear up, do the deal, come back with the money. I don't have the dope, and I don't have the money.
Frank, you owe me 55,000.
Pusher. Damien, I think, is the only one of us who's actually seen the Pusher trilogy. So I want Damien to talk up on this trailer now.
On the trailer, I saw where it said it's Refn's name was mentioned. Is he doing this?
He's the producer, not the director.
All right. In that case, yeah, I'm going to probably. I'm the only one who's seen the Pusher trilogy, not because you guys are terrible people and ignore my recommendation. Refn did 3 fantastic movies, and now he'll only be known for making Drive, which is sad. But Drive is fantastic. He has better movies, though. They're the Pusher trilogy. They're remaking it, but they're doing it the right way, I guess, because he's on board as a producer, so I guess he'll be able to oversee all the lunacy that they'll be doing. But to be fair, it'd be really hard to fuck up a Pusher remake. The movies are just that good. If they do shot-for-shot remake, which it seems it is what they're doing from this trailer, and just put the dialogue in English, which again is what they're doing, it should be fantastic. I love the lead actor that they got to do it. He's in Coupling, which I love, and I've seen him in some more dramatic roles. His range as an actor is stupendous.
I'm surprised he's not in more things.
He's British, not his fault. If he can't play Bond, he kind of has a look. Right, Andrew?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Idiot. Guys, why haven't you watched the Pusher trilogy again? There are some better movies that you...
I did watch better movies.
Like what?
The Artist.
Douglas, what's yours?
I watched Black Lightning.
That's not Douglas. I love Black Lightning, but that's not
the I watched Luther, okay?
that's a couple. Okay? You can't use Luther as an excuse to not watch it.
So Douglas, being the Coupling fan you are, what does it feel like to see Richard Coyle in this kind of movie?
Well, you see, the funny thing is, right, that all of you Coupling fans are really being the death of this movie. Because, you see, as a non-fan of Coupling, I don't actually know who is in Coupling.
Wait, I keep hearing words, but they're not making it. I'm sorry, as I'm not...
What? So when I see a movie with someone I don't know in it, I say, okay, this could work. And then somebody says, oh, he was in Coupling, and I say, So I just like to let you know that you are.
I'm not following this logic. Nothing he's saying makes any sense.
I'm just joking. Him being in Coupling has nothing to do with my like or dislike of this trailer. This trailer makes it look like it's going to be an action movie that, you know, should be gritty and action-y and good to watch, you know?
I like his description, because that is the description of someone who hasn't seen Pusher. Now the second one of you actually sits down and watches it, your excitement level for this trailer is going to skyrocket.
Look, I saw this trailer and I immediately went, you know, I really should go and watch that trilogy right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, guys, you kind of should. I don't know, maybe you guys should listen to me for once.
But then I'll ruin the English movie for myself. I'll spoil the whole thing for me. No, I'll go watch Pusher Trilogy.
Okay. Watch, let the right one in and let me in.
I know.
They ended up all in English. You know, I really should watch the English version of the movie. I really should.
Still have it's me. Really good. And so Casey Jones is in it. Right.
It's good, I guess.
Anyways, let's move on.
Anyway, there's still no Blu-ray versions of Pusher, which I'm saddened by.
Yeah, that's not cool.
It's bringing a tear to my
eye. There, that's my excuse to not watch it. It's not in HD.
I'll punch you in the face if you say that, because you guys are liars. Won't admit you love me, and so how am I ever to know? You only tell me, perhaps, perhaps, perhaps. A million times I ask you, and then I ask you over again. You only answer, perhaps, perhaps, perhaps.
Yeah.
Where are you?
I'm not sure. I'm upstate, I think.
Find out where you are and I will come get you.
I can't wait that long.
What's going on?
She's here now. She seems okay.
What'd she say?
She had some boyfriend. They were living in the Catskills.
Is this Martha? Martha. You look like a Marcy May.
You've got a really nice place here.
It's as much yours as it is mine.
Where are we? Connecticut? Well, how far are we? From what? Yesterday. You mean from where I picked you up? About 3 hours. Why?
Do you ever have that feeling where you can't tell if something's a memory or if it's something you dreamed?
I don't blame you for not trusting people. If you're ever going to have a meaningful relationship, you need to let your guard down. We want to help you.
This week, we all got around to watching the feature debut of director Sean Durkin, Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene. Damien chose this movie, so Damien, tell him what it's about.
Right. So the movie is about a young girl who has escaped a commune and has headed back to the real world. And it is how she deals with the trauma of having lived in said commune for the last couple of years, and how she's unable to reconnect with the normal world. And the reason I wanted to watch this movie is because it has gotten an ungodly amount of praise from everybody who I listen to review movies. It's almost a competition at this point who can be more hyperbolic about this movie. It is great. It is stupendous. It is the reason movies are movies. All sorts of madness. It turns out, though, they are right to an extent. This movie is terrific. The only gripe I have about this movie, and I'll start off with the gripes first, because there's a lot to praise and little to not praise, is that the supporting actress in this movie is not carrying her weight. next to the lead actress, she looks like a joke. She's not. She just doesn't have the range to pull off the emotions that she's supposed to be pulling off. And with the lead actress straight up killing it in the acting department, it's not. It's the one thing that isn't gluing, gelling properly with this movie. But that is only a minor gripe. She doesn't spend a lot of time on screen. Martha or Marcine or whatever she wants to call herself. They call her different things throughout the movie. I think her name is Marlene.
Her real name is Martha. And the leader played by Hawkins says that she looks like a Marcy Me, and they call her that while she's at the commune.
I never quite got, so you understand those two parts of the name. Where did Marlene come from? Holy shit. No.
Yes, this is number one. Yes.
Douglas, stop looking at your screen.
Right. So Douglas is amazed that this is her first time acting, as is everybody else who's seen
her. Yes, it's her first film. Movie. And she's the other sister of the Olsen twins, right?
Yes. Oh, wait. Oh, she's not one of the two. Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. That's why I was going crazy over here, because all I saw was Olsen, and then I looked down and there was a poster of Mary-Kate and Ashley. Yeah. And I was like, what? The reason I'm looking, right? So the reason I'm looking as to who she is because throughout the movie, I was watching and I said to myself, this girl really looks a lot like Vera Farmiga.
Oh.
So I was wondering if she was like some sort of sister, but clearly she's...
Right. So this movie, by and large, is pretty terrific. It deals with nuance in a way that more movies should try to. There's no black and white in this movie. The leader of the commune is pretty much a horrible human being, but the film takes its time letting you know that. It's not just she escapes and you realize immediately that he's clearly the devil and this is why these things happened. It unfolds over time and you see that, you know, the only way a commune can exist is because it needs someone like him. It wouldn't exist otherwise. You need someone strong and devious and analogous to Hitler and the devil, you know, to keep these communes going. They don't just naturally spring up. And his acting was tremendous. He is so creepy. It is deliciously creepy. You just know if you've met him in real life, you'll go, there's something off about you, sir, and I'm going to cross the street. And if you come near my house, I'm going to shoot you on sight. Elizabeth Olsen, that's her name?
Yeah.
She is so, so good in this movie. Her range is unbelievable. I'm actually more surprised now that she's sister to the Olsons. The other people who were busy praising the movie neglected to mention that for some reason.
I think there's a good reason for that one. I'm sorry.
It's clear that she has more talent than both of them.
I would have boycotted this movie on principle.
Yeah, that's probably. You know, you're right. If someone said, oh, one of the Olsen sisters, I've got, fuck you guys. I don't know what you did. You guys are full of shit. I mean, you watch this, and this is the only performance I've seen for the year that would rival the performance that was in the movie we reviewed last week and I reviewed today. But I don't think she wins. Tilda Swinton is better, but you cannot feel hard done by that statement.
Yeah, that's kind of hard because she's got all this experience, and you know she's
goddamn Tilda Swinton.
There's something wrong with that woman. She can act so well.
It is ridiculous. Between I Am Love and We Need to Talk About Kevin.
I still need to watch that movie. I still haven't watched that movie.
You think that what she did in We need to talk about Kevin is impressive. Watch I Am Low.
She is. I wasn't that big a fan of I Am Low.
Wait. I think maybe I have watched that movie. Is that, does that have something to do with her having some sort of get together and her son is a cook or something like that?
Is it foreign, Douglas?
Is it a foreign film?
I think so.
Then yeah. It might have been.
Yeah. What was I Am Love about?
It's about this woman cheating on her husband with a chef.
Right. Oh, yes. And at some point, somebody falls in a pool. Is it her? And hits the head and...
Yeah, that does happen.
Yeah. I've seen that movie, actually. Yes,
not that I remember any. Yeah, you are right.
I don't know why it's very blurry memories.
I just remember the scene where you get to see Tidla Sutton naked.
Oh, I don't remember that. I need to watch it again.
What were we talking about? Right. Martha. The four M's.
Cappuccino muffin.
About halfway through this movie, I went, I know where this movie is going. And what I like more about this movie is that they cut it off because they were heading down the road.
Yeah,
they decided to cut it off early, which I commend them for.
Yeah, they definitely...
And I also went, you know what? Everybody knows what is going to happen.
Not even everybody knows, you know, because to tell you the truth, and I know this is a little bit spoilerific, and I apologize to the general public if anyone decides to bleep this out.
It's my new favorite word.
But they stop it at a point where you can decide whether something bad happens or something bad doesn't happen. But also, they do the build-up in such a great way that it really can be argued that she's just being paranoid.
Right, that she's lost her mind or these things are actually happening. And that is why I'm glad that they cut it off.
Yeah.
And also, alright, look. You've seen this type of movie. Just pick one. Because we're cutting it off now. And I appreciate the first-time director, which is also amazing. I don't know how he got enough leeway to get this done. Because this could not have been an easy movie to get made, or
no,
to
not
pitch.
Not at all. I wonder if this movie made $5. I mean,
I'm pretty sure it didn't. In fact, if we check, it probably hasn't made $5 yet.
Funnily enough, IMDb says people who like this movie also like We Need to Talk About Kevin.
No shit. And Black Swan. Do you like depressing movies?
Yes.
We should probably check these out.
The Lives of Others, yes. Yes. Love that movie.
Again, you're like, oh, so you're a movie snob. Ah, we see what's going on here. Let's watch all these others. Get your snobbery on.
I think we can all now say films instead of movies because they've eyed us. They've told us we are film snobs because they just listed all of our movies.
We are, though. I mean,
yes, but
I know I am.
Yes, but we don't have to go down that road, guys. And I'd prefer if we didn't. The second one of you guys start using words like esoteric, I'm going to leave this podcast. So I don't want to hear it. And stakes. No,
can I use the words pathos and cathartic?
No. And we should stop using pantheon as well. Right.
So this movie, if we stop using pantheon, does that mean that...
No, Douglas, no.
Douglas, it does exist.
I have a couple
of movies
that I want to talk about.
No, it
right
exists.
Now.
Don't you talk about it. The movie is everything that it is pitched as, and it is great. It's well executed, it is well acted, with the exception of one, and the direction is fantastic. And it's good to see that there are there are upcoming people who have all this talent in, because we watch a lot of movies and we get down on movies from time to time. It's not until like the end of the year when we look back only at the good that we go, I guess movies will still be good in the future. Because by and large, most of the shit that we watch is pretty bad.
Yeah.
But it's good to know that we don't have to depend on, like, these three people. We don't see those names, we just go, no. That's what it is. You ain't say, pass me, there's nothing this one. I don't care. I don't want to hear. All right, these are, so the director and the actress is somebody you should look out for. There's not much to spoil in this movie. She comes back from the commune and she is messed up. It turns out living in a commune might not be the best thing for your mental state of mind. They do weird things. They're very cultish. It's like being Muslim.
Three, that's not very two, nice.
One, and the bomb should be dropped.
We're not live. We're not live. Oh, right. They have to wait until the episode is released.
You probably should cut that out so that we don't get hurt. It is, I like how they go back and forth, you know, in, you know, her memories of the commune and how things developed. I like the reactions of the husband. This is one of the few movies where a husband acted like a husband the entire time, right? He just went, look, I know she's his sister, but the bitch is crazy. So that's what you want me to do. There's a scene where she goes into their bedroom while they're having sex, and Martha's sister is pretending like there's some rational way how to deal with this situation, and the husband just goes, no, this is not a thing that people do. I'm quite upset. What the hell is going on here? And I love her reaction whenever they talk to her. They're like, look, this is not a thing that you don't just strip naked in the middle of the place and jump in the water. There's kids around. And she's like, I don't understand.
She's like, all right, if you really want me to, but I was fine a moment ago.
Like, no, this is not a thing that normal people do. What is? I love the amount of times they say what is wrong with her, and I love her reactions to each time. She's just oblivious to the fact that she is nuts.
Well, the truth is, I don't think she's oblivious to the fact. She's not oblivious. She knows that she's strange. And she knows why she's strange. I really like this movie. And there's actually a big parallel that you can draw with this and the last movie we watched, which is that it's very much two-tiered. It's two stories spoken in parallel. But I think I preferred the way that this movie did it, because the way the last movie did it, it kind of just switched back and forth.
Right, they started too early. At the start of the movie.
Well, I don't know if you'd say that I started too early, but I think they just switched back and forth without necessarily a reason for doing so. But this movie, the way the director did it, it was much more organic, because what he did was he made sure to tie everything back. So you know, what would happen is you'd see her get a drink and put a spoon in it and stir it, and you'd hear the sort of noise that the glass noise, right, that it makes, you know, the ting, right? Yeah. And then all of a sudden you go straight back in time, I guess a year or however long ago it was, and she'd be doing the same thing. And the reason that the movie kept switching was that whenever she was with her sister and her husband, she would always do something that reminded her of what happened in the commune. And I thought that the way the director was able to tie those two storylines together that way was brilliant. I think it's kind of official that John Hawkes is a really great actor.
It's been official for a very long time.
What's it called? Deadwood. Right. Yeah, with T Dot, with Mr. O. sorry, Andrew, you were saying something?
You were saying it's been official for a while.
Yes, that's been official for a while. But weirdly enough, what I want to think about John Hawks is, I think this is the second movie we've seen him do it. But is it weird that I want him to release a bluegrass album now?
That is very weird, Andrew.
Yes, very. Anyway, this movie, I think, the truth is I didn't know what this movie was going in. Some people might say that that's odd, and why don't I know about these movies? And a piece of it has to do with me kind of running all over the place and not having much time anymore to kind of follow these things up. But the truth of the matter is, I kind of prefer it that way. I almost want to know absolutely nothing about a movie, and just like with...
Well, certain movies, not all movies.
Well, yeah, maybe not all movies, but I think there's something to that, to not knowing anything about a movie, going in with a blank slate and being like, okay, it's your time to entertain me now. Just let me see what you can do. And, I mean, this film, you can take out the list and you can check it, you know.
But they're all
everything.
New directors and new actors. Yeah. How did they manage to hit all the checkboxes? Right out the gate.
Yeah. And
is this another Cary Fukunaga situation?
Perhaps. But this movie, I think it did a really great job of getting... I don't know if it... Well, I would hope it did, this, since you're touting it so much. But it really got me invested in the film. Every time she did something wrong or strange, I just... You know, I kind of felt it for her, because... What happened was that the people that she was with, her sister and her sister's husband, didn't have, you know, the privilege or the hindsight or whatever you want to call it, of knowing what happened with her in the commune. And we did, right? We kind of followed both stories at the same time, so we could see. And you could kind of say to yourself, okay, I understand every single one of her reactions, even though, yes, they're kind of crazy, but you're like, yo, she went through this, and that's kind of fucked up for any one person to deal with. And so every time she made one of those weird bedroom visits or midday swims or anything like that, you kind of said to yourself, I mean, I remember thinking, like, really feeling like, why don't you just tell them? Just say something about what happened so that they understand, so that they're just not thinking that you're crazy, and not just that you're crazy, but that you're a shallow sort of crazy, because that's what they think. You know, they're just like, you know what, this fucking girl just went away for 2 years, all of a sudden she's back just because they have money.
She's crazy,
you
know.
Exactly. That's what they think, and the truth is, you can't blame them for thinking that, because that's what they see. But you
not
exactly. I know you see what really happened, and you're just like, I mean, this girl is getting like date raped and
guys, that's not a thing. I've seen it now in I think 3 separate movies over the last couple, over the last year, this thing where guys wake up and start having sex with women while they're asleep. And that's not a thing.
What are these movies you're watching, Damien?
I think these movies are how to
are
get...
they less than 15 minutes long, and do you find them on the internet for free?
Yes and no.
Wow. But no, this movie is, I think it's great. I think you get pulled right into the middle of it. And it's even up to the end, and right at that ending point where they cut it off, you're just like, you know, you kind of hold your breath, and for a good minute or 2 minutes after, you're like, what happened, you know?
I was clapping by myself for the movie. Good job, guys.
That's a great job.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
It also scored out the thing. Oh, when to stop.
I mean, and there's something to be said about the way that they introduce this commune. and how, as you say, how they slowly build up to the fact that not only is this man such an evil man, and not only is this commune such a like a creepy, crazy place, but also it's very much like a factory. You keep churning them out. Yeah. You know, you bring in one woman under the guise of being one of those folks' girlfriends. Yeah. You kind of
indoctrinate her.
Exactly. You get them into bring them into the fold. They have a handler. Literally, each lady has a handler, and as they kind of, I don't want to say mature, but get along, you know, get in line, then they bring another one, and the cycle, it's not even really a cycle, it's just a steady inflow of unfortunate souls. And
hey, but that's not the only way to live. I love that argument. Oh my goodness, when she said, you know, having money and all these things is not the way to live. I thought that they were going to like have her set up and then the husband would respond, but that response is perfect. I love his character so much. He feels
that
like
guy,
a real
can
character.
Can I tell you, that guy is great. I'm so sad that I never see him in much, and what see him in is crap. Because Adam was, I think, one of the best movies ever, and he played that amazingly.
Perfect.
And this movie now he's fantastic in, and he was in a TV show recently. He was in The Big C, and he was great in that show as well. And it's just so sad that everything else I see him in is kind of like the other Olsen Twins movie, you know. So I'm happy to now finally see him in something good, something where he can actually say, yes, I am an actor.
You
here
are talking,
Douglas. Do some more good
but
stuff.
Then the Douglas. Smack dab in the middle of that, he's not pulling her weight.
Yeah, Andrew.
You're talking about the same actor who appeared in Our Idiot Brother, Black Hawk Down, and Savage Grace.
Okay, I only heard Black Hawk Down. What were the other two?
Our Idiot Brother and Savage Grace.
Well, I don't know what Savage Grace is. Our Idiot Brother sounds like a bad movie. What is that movie? Isn't that the one with Paul Rudd?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a bad movie, isn't
Have
it?
You?
Yes,
I like that movie very much.
But that's what I'm saying. He's in all sorts of bad movies. I didn't realize he was in Black Hawk Down, which, by all accounts, is a fantastic film.
Yeah, but that's
you
not
know,
your
but,
fault. You wouldn't have recognized him back then.
Yeah, you know? and what's Savage Grace? I'm not sure if I know that one.
Never seen.
Savage
I know
Grace.
I know of the movie.
Savage Grace is a very peculiar movie starring who you faithfully like to call Redbush.
Oh my god.
What did you say about Redbush?
Oh, that's so good.
You favorably like to call Redbush. Julianne Moore?
Oh, I see.
That is so good. We should just stop giving people nicknames. Very bad. A bad thing that we do.
Oh, wow. I like this poster.
It's
a
really messed up movie. Douglas, it's a really messed up movie, which means you love it.
I think so.
Probably will. I should probably give this movie
Is that
a try.
James Bond? No, it's not. It looks like him when he's small.
Right. My point is, he's been in good movies.
Maybe not enough.
Why did Douglas say that he wasn't in good movies, Andrew? You're not listening to each other. I'm realizing.
Andrew,
Douglas alone that is a culprit in this. You don't listen either. At no point did Douglas say this man is not in good movies. Oh my word. Right, so Andrew, what did you think? Because we haven't asked you as yet. How goes it with
I enjoyed this movie thoroughly. I like how you guys were talking about the back and forth between while she was at the commune and now after she's escaped and she's now with her sister and brother-in-law. And the fucked up she does because she's screwed up due to her years in the commune. I love John Hawkins as I have ever since I took note of him for the first time in Winter's Bone. I know he's been doing things for a long time, but that's the first time where I really saw him and said, shit, that's who John Hawkins is. right? And while he doesn't reach the level of Winter's Bone in this movie for me, he still is fantastic. And as I said, I want him to release a bluegrass album because I'm sure he has a lot of great songs in him. Because as I've been told, in both cases, Winter's Bone and this movie, it's not someone wrote those songs for him. He did those himself and they just shoehorned them in. And they're really awesome. What I particularly like, and I may be wrong in my reading, because there are some horrendous things done in the commune, right? And I'm not going to go towards the sexual things, because at the end of the day, I'm going to leave that one up to some of these people chose to be there, right? And they could have run away like Martha did, or whatever, but other than John Hawkins himself in the group, the idea of the commune and what it does to these people, I don't think the movie actually takes a stance on whether it's a bad idea, right? Yes, John Hawkins is horrendous in certain actions, and I think it shows true, especially in the gun range scene, when he comes up with a bag of kittens. I guess they're kittens, because it's a bag and you just hear meowing coming from the bag. And he tells Marcy May to shoot the bag. And he's trying to justify it to her, because she's like, I can't shoot a living thing. He's trying to justify it to her, saying, you know, they're dying of cancer. They're suffering. We need to put them out of their suffering. And stuff like that. Like, it's obvious that John Hawkins, his character, is a horrendous person and is probably the stem of why Martha gets kind of fucked up throughout at the end of the... Yeah?
Just because Douglas is continuously laughing at you every time you say it, it's John Hawks. He keeps saying Hawkins. And Douglas is losing his mind over here. I was just going to make it go, because everybody knows who you're talking about. But Douglas is losing it.
Right. I'd like to say that at least I'm nice enough to correct you guys when I hear you guys doing this.
No, but I know who you're talking.
Yeah, and that's why I didn't everybody correct knows. You. Exactly. That's why I'm not correcting you, because you see, I'm laughing here, and at least you can't see that. So in my mind, I'm being nice.
Yes, but right? I can see you, Douglas. I have eyes.
But you're supposed to just laugh with me and let it go.
Oh,
just see how long this touch is.
John Hawks. yes.
No,
I feel like a horrible person. The horrendous things he does throughout this movie. And you can kind of feel that... All of the bad things stem from him, as opposed to,
So Andrew.
Yeah.
For your own edification.
Mm-hmm.
If you would like to actually hear John Hawks, play music, I would recommend you buy his CD.
There is a CD. Awesome. I'm going to go and buy it now.
You really don't know how to use the internet, do you? Despite having a website and an IT degree, you have no idea how it works.
And working in a job where I create websites and programs.
I don't understand. We have good. It's not like we're using Lycos.
It took me all of 2 minutes, right? Andrew.
Our Ask Jeeves. Our AOL.
Dog
right?
Panel.
Right? It's not keyword John Hawkins.
No, you're saying
I'm doing it to monkey. Right? All you had to do was Google his name. Right? See what Wikipedia has to say. It literally took Douglas about a minute. You're bad at this.
I'm bad. So yeah, I like this movie.
I like this movie a lot. And I like the way it presented the story. Just like how we need to talk about Kevin presenting the story. Going back and forth, giving us hints. While we all know that there's going to be a linchpin scene coming at the end. Figuring out why this girl is so messed up. And why she eventually ran away from the commune. Because, I mean, with all of the things that happened at the end of the day, she was kind of still happy there, right? She didn't think of what she was doing as wrong. She was just enjoying being with her new family and all of the things that came with that girl. What?
She wasn't happy there. She was being manipulated, and then the manipulation got to a tipping point, and she decided to do what she always did, which was run away. She had run away from her original family to this commune. It's insinuated, it's never spelled out what happened to her before she went to the commune. But she was running away from her family originally. When shit went sideways at the commune, she decided to run away from them back to her family. And you see that there was something about her before this whole commune incident that pushed her and her sister apart. Her sister did go to college, and she was worried that she could have done more, but there's clearly something about her that, you know, didn't foster the same kind of sisterhood that you'd expect between them. And when she came back after the commune, she was too far gone. There's nothing that the sister could have done. And you said that the movie didn't take a stance on communes, but their depiction of this commune in particular isn't a very good one. They didn't come right out and go, maybe you guys should live in communes.
It wasn't a Kevin Smith stance.
Yeah, but God, I hate red shit. Fuck that movie. This movie is great, and everyone should see it. I know we've been saying that for a while now.
It's all on DVD and Blu-ray now, so they can all go and watch it.
Right. I love the fact, as I said, that there's new people. I'm always on the lookout for new directors and new actors and actresses that I can, you know, watch and enjoy. I remember the first time I saw Fassbender and knew who he was in Hunger. And after I saw that, I went, anything that this guy's in, I'm definitely going to watch. And that has worked out swimmingly so far. It's also worked out with Tom Hardy. We saw Bronson, went, holy shit, this guy's amazing. And here he is.
By the way, can I tell you that This Means War is playing in the theaters, and I've been so tempted to watch it, even though I know it's going to be so hard.
I'm totally going to watch that movie.
I know that movie's bad. I still want to watch it, though. I like Pine. I like Hardy.
You really like Pine? Well, did you like...
I like Pine.
That's the only other really big movie he's been in, right?
I refuse to watch him and Denzel Washington stare at a train.
The only movie I watched with him other than Star Trek was I watched the disease movie. I can't remember what it's called, but Carriers,
right.
Anyways, coming back to this movie, Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene. I think we can all come around to the fact that we've all said it's a fantastic film, and people need to go and check it out.
This one would be in my top 10.
Would Kevin have broken your top 10, Damien?
Probably would have, yeah.
Yeah, I think both of these.
Yeah, both of these would have probably been in the top 10.
I mean, it's trust me, just look at the movies that were in my top 10. It's pretty easy to break them.
Right, I could have gotten rid of a couple of those.
There were so many great movies that came out late last year.
At the very least, I'd have grouped them together with some other movies. I'd have like 20 movies in my top 10.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? There's only 3 movies so far that I know. But I wouldn't be grouping them, and you know, with I had the order set from the beginning, and we spoke about that already. So,
all right. So, tell us what you think of. Say what you're saying.
I was asking whose pick it was next week.
Oh, mine. I'll let you know in a minute. So that's pretty much it on this film. Everyone listening, I hope you guys take the time to email in and let us know what you think of this film when you get around to seeing it. It's now available on Blu-ray and DVD. You can email me, andrew.robinson@gmanreviews.com. The podcast, Tump, is up at gmanreviews.com. iTunes and the podcast.
You're just calling it Tump now. Like, no, the unnamed movie. I mean, that's over with.
And you know what I think is worse? The fact that this is an acronym that actually means something to us.
Yes.
But to all of our viewers, because I'm sure we have maximum a half of a person from Jamaica. Nobody knows what Tump means.
Exactly. Nobody else understands why that is funny. It's supposed to be Tump. If we're going to be international, then we need to put an H in there somewhere. But it's not a Thump isn't as funny.
But even Thump is not a widely used word.
Yeah, but at least people would know. People would have some idea
No, when you hear Thump, you think of the sound Thump. You don't think that I'm going to thump somebody. Right. Because in Jamaica, when you thump somebody, you punch them. And that's what a thump is. It is a punch in the face. But, you know...
Maybe we should put Thump and then bracket punch in the face.
That's what the podcast should have been called. It's a punch in the face.
No, it should not have been called.
Anyways, thanks guys for listening.
Just a pick.
And good night.
Lives on my wall. But she's just a picture. Reason it is so small. With a smile so inviting and a body so tall. Well, she's just a picture. Just a picture. That's all. Well, you stand there with your nightshade. Dripping down your hand. You ask me.